الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله
صلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله
وعلى آلك وصحابك يا حبيب الله
وعلى آلك وصحابك يا حبيب الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله
صلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله
وعلى آلك وصحابك يا نور الله
وعلى آلك وصحابك يا نور الله
My dear Islam brothers and viewers of Madani channel, welcome back to our programs. Alhamdulillah Azza a very beautiful topic, and inshallah Azza wa Jal, let's recite the beautiful glorious Quran inshallah Azza wa Jal, and the Kalam-e-Pak inshallah.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن تبارك الذي جعل في السماء بروجا وجعل فيها سراجا وقمرا منيرا وهو الذي جعل الليل والنهار خلفة لمن أراد أن يذكر أو أراد شكورا وعباد الرحمن الذين يمشون على الأرض هونا وإذا خاطبهم الجاهلون قالوا سلاما وَإِذَا خَاطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا وَالَّذِينَ يَبِيتُونَ لِرَبِّهِمْ سُجَّدًا وَقِيَامًا والذين يقولون ربنا اصرف عنا عذاب جهنم إن عذابها كان غراما آمنت بالله صدق الله العظيم صلى الله عليك يا رسول الله وسلم عليك يا حبيب الله
دردانی دوا دینا
Islam brothers and viewers of Madani channel, you are watching our programs and Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal. Today our topic is going to be passion for worship of our predecessors and our state. You know, if you look at the predecessors, the awliya ikram, the sahaba ikram, the tabi'in, the tabi tabi'in, how they did their ibadat. Now Allah Ta'ala, He created man for His worship. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. And I created humans and jinns for my worship. Now Allah Ta'ala created us for worship. Now if you look at ourselves today, in our day and age, that we know, even though we have a lot of time on our hands, yet we still cannot do the ibadat that we should be doing. We are going to be discussing that inshallah, how we can increase our worship and some of the things that we can get rid of so that we can go towards our ibadat. But I just want to mention one very beautiful story about Hazrat Sayyidah Kainat, Sayyida Fatima to Zahra radiyallahu ta'ala anha, how much love she had for the ibadat of Allah Azza wa Jal. That after Salatul Isha, Hazrat Sayyida Fatima radiyallahu ta'ala anha, she would stand up for Salah. And then during the Salah, Hazrat Sayyida Fatima radiyallahu ta'ala anha, you know, she would be standing up for Salah. And as she was in Sajda and she would recite Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, Hazrat Bilal al-Habshi radiyallahu ta'ala anhu would give Azan for Fajr. Now just imagine, this was the passion, the love that these great people have for ibadat. Many, many other stories, and inshallah, this is what we are going to be discussing about. And mashallah, Azzawajal, I've got Harun bhai as normal, mashallah, Azzawajal, with me on the right side, and mashallah, Vaseem bhai on the left hand side, subhanallah, Azzawajal. Ji Harun bhai, I want you to start off with this beautiful topic, the passion of ibadat of the awliya ikram and the sahaba.
Subhanallah, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. We've, mashallah, covered a lot of beautiful topics, but perhaps this is one of the most important, one to improve our lives, but not only that, I think it's very important because if we're not lost in the passion of the ibadat of Allah, you're really missing something in life. You know, this is the garden that, you know, people, once they taste the fruit of, they can't get away from it.
MashaAllah.
You know, it's just such a beautiful feeling. And there is a famous hadith in Mubarakah as well, where Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when you pass by the mahfils, sit with them and eat the fruits. And so it is amazing. I'm going to start off with a beautiful hadith in Mubarakah, which really gives you an insight into the mindset, the Madani mindset of the Blessed Companion.
Subhanallah, subhanallah.
Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is travelling back from a ghazwa. A ghazwa is a battle in which Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took part. On the way back, with the companions, they stop in a mountainous area. And Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam orders them to rest. And then Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, who amongst you will keep watch at night? So there are two blessed companions, one Muhajir Sahabi, one Ansari companion. And they stand up and say, Ya Rasulallah Labbaik. So they have the duty of protecting. So what they do is they climb up onto a nearby hill and they're watching. And they say to each other, rather than both of us stay awake all night, why don't one of us go to sleep and the other keep watch, and then after a bit we'll swap and we'll take turns. So they agree to this. So one of the Sahabis, they go to sleep, and the other ones, they remain standing. And they think, well, I'm standing, I'm not doing anything, so I'll start my Salah. Nafil Fardh. This is the passion they had, because any time they had, you know, we think, how can I chill out, what can I do? They're chilling out, they're, you know, best use of their time, and the most enjoyable, and this is the key to it, was, you know, Salah. And there's a famous waqiyah about Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala, whenever he had spare time, he would sit down with the glorious Quran, because he said, there's nothing I enjoy more than reading the glorious Quran. So these blessed companions, one of them is resting and the other one is starts his Salah. While he's reading, an enemy climbs onto a nearby mountain and he sees this person stood there. So he pulls the arrow and he fires the arrow, and the arrow embeds in. And the amazing companions of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, their passion for ibadat was unbelievable. He continues. He fires another arrow, yet he still continues, does not break his salah. He fires the third arrow and it pierces his body. He then performs ruku and sujood, completes his salah, and then wakes up his companion and says, this is what happened. And upon waking the companion, the person, whoever it was, runs away. And the Muhajir companion sees his condition of this Ansari Sahabi, radiallahu anhu, and he says, why didn't you wake me up earlier? And the reply is so amazing. You know what he says? He says that I love Surah Kahf Sharif, and I was reciting Surah Kahf Sharif, and I didn't want to finish the recitation of Surah Kahf Sharif, so I wanted to finish it. But then, when the third arrow hit me, I thought maybe I will fail in the duty that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave me, and that's why I quickly finished my salah and woke you up.
Masha, you know, for them, yes, serving the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was also an act of worship as well.
Allah.
You know, alhamdulillah, a very beautiful story to start off with. Mm-hmm. You know, this was the jazbah of the Sahaba Ikram, this was the love of ibadat that these Sahaba Ikram had. Wasim bhai, mashallah,
I want to take it a bit of a different angle.
Mashallah.
Talking about having the passion for worship. But one thing we have, one problem we have, which is stopping us having that passion for worship, is having high hopes, having that love for the world. And unfortunately, because we all indulged in this, this is stopping us from having that passion to worship Allah Almighty. And one of the reasons for having these high hopes is because we think we're going to be in this dunya for a very long time. So we think that we'll do it later. When we are older, then we'll do it. Tawbah, when it comes to Tawbah, we think that we'll do it later. If you look at it, a lot of us, possibly we might have a lot of umri qaza left. We might have a lot of debt which we can pay, but we are delaying this. All this because we're thinking that we're going to have a long life. So I think one thing we need to get rid of is get rid of this mentality that, you know, we're going to be here forever, we're going to be here, that we worship later when we get older. And if you look around, you don't see the masjid full of the older people who are on the dunya. For example, if you go to the masjid, you might see 6 or 7 old people. That is not the only old people in the area. So where are they all? You know, when we be young, we have this mindset that unfortunately, that when we get a bit older, when we get married, then we'll start worship. And then those people who are married, they'll say, when we have children, then we'll start worship.
You know what it is, Wasim? MashaAllah, a very beautiful way you've explained. You know, at this moment in time, there's two things that I want to mention. You know, what you mentioned about, you know, there's not many old people, which is true. There's a lot of people in the area, but not many. But you know, it's like, basically, we see that it's like passed on from generations. That maybe our youngsters nowadays don't go to the masjid because, yeah, my dad started namaz when he was 60, so I'm going to start my namaz when I'm going to be 60. You know, that's one of the things. And the other thing is that the passion is not there. People sometimes think, yeah, well, the Sahaba Ikram, they didn't have internet, mobile phones at that time, so they could read the Quran. But that's not true. You know, every era there was some kind of, you know, distraction. You know, if you look at it, you know, even the people who lived at the time of the Sahaba Ikram, there were so many distractions there as well. But the Sahaba Ikram, because they were the chosen people, even after them, the Awliya Ikram, how they spend their time. You know, why is it that today we find the Awliya Ikram, you know, they wanted to go to the jungles and do their ibadat there? Is because they wanted to get away from this world, from this, you know, the illumination of this world, and going to the jungle and do ibadat. One sahabi radiallahu ta'ala anhu, you know, we mentioned ibadat is of many things. You know, you got your salah. You know, I don't want people to be thinking that, you know, ibadat is just about, you know, offering your salah. Ibadat is reading the Quran. Ibadat is offering, reciting durood upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ibadat is looking after your neighbor. Ibadat, you know, it has a very big mafhoom what ibadat is. And if you look at the sahaba ikram, alhamdulillah, they fit in every single thing. I know so many people who made the intention that I want to learn the Quran, yet after 6 weeks they still have not made that jazbah. That jazbah is not there, that passion is not there. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, when he would read the Quran, you know, he would cry in the fear of Allah Azza wa Jal. When was the last time I read the Quran and I cried reading the Quran? When was the last time that I offered my salah and I even now people are finding it so difficult to read 20 rakat of Taraweeh? You know, 14 nahi ho sakni ha. There is 20 rakat. Why is the passions not there?
Afsab, if you look at our namaz, we make the basic sort of preparations for it. Very basic. And then, if you want to, you know, sometimes the shaitan makes you feel like you're doing something. You know, somebody reads their 5 namaz, yeah, and he thinks, right, you know what I mean? And the thing is, you know, the real acid test is that, you know, say for example in your ruku, when was the last time that you thought, okay, for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, I'm going to do an extra tasbih or extra 2 tasbih? When was the last time you went into sajda and thought, you know, I'll spend a bit of time, I'll think about the glory of my Lord when I'm in prostration? When was the last time you stood in, you know, Qiyam and thought the Buzurgani Deen used to stand all night in Qiyam reciting the entire Quran? And we, what we do is we've got Inna Atayna Kal Kawthar and Qul Huwallahu Ahad. That, you know, we've got the, even those we've done Rakta and we forgot the talaffuz of it, and we, you know, on the concept of, and you ask these people, oh ji, main Surat Yasin Sharif Zubani Kiti, Surat Rahman Sharif Zubani Kiti. When was the last time you read it in Salah? You know, to tell people you've done it. You tell it, you go and announce it. I know this Surah Mubarakah, I know Surah Mulk Sharif. When was the last time you stood in Namaz and you recited the entire Surah in one rakah?
You know, Subhanallah, even Dua is Ibadat as well. Dua is something that we ask from Allah Azza wa Jal. And even now today, the basic thing that Harumbe, you mentioned was, we don't even make dua. We don't even ask from Allah Azza wa Jal. And then we say our ibadat is not accepted. And if you look at the Buzurgan Deen, all night they used to stand up in for salah. You know, they say that a person when he dies, and when he dies, that is the moment that that person will regret by looking at his life. And he will think, I had the opportunity to ask from Allah Ta'ala and I never used to. Oh, you know, if we all look at it, and the viewers of Madani channel, be a bit serious about it, yeah? Just ask yourself, when you do your dua, do we even know how to make dua? You know, the sunnah manner of making dua, we don't know how to lift our hands up. We don't know what, sometimes people say, what do I ask? Indeed. What do you want from Allah? Ask Him that. But I've seen people, you know, dua, you know, they got their hands up. That's when we approach. And sometimes we say, Molvi, let me dua kar you. You know, the thing is, Molvi sahab is asking for you, and you're not even part of that dua. So when the mercy of Allah Ta'ala is being distributed amongst the people, you're not going to get no isa because you're not even asking from him.
Said, you know, when a person works, say you do a 40-hour week, and then when it's time for the wages, you get up and leave.
That wouldn't happen.
I know, but if it did, you think, how crazy strange is that person? How strange is that person? You know, when it's time for his wage, I mean, I know it wouldn't happen. That's a penny and shouldn't it? Did I know? It wouldn't happen. But, you know, and dua is exactly the same. It is the essence of your worship. You know, you've worshipped Allah Azza wa Jalla, you've prostrated in the court of Allah Azza wa Jalla, you've done your ruku and sujood, and you now got the opportunity, get the doors of the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jalla open, ask for whatever you want. And what do?
Sometimes it's so sad that, you know, you see people and they do have genuine problems. You know, sometimes, you know, your eyes bandani badiyan pareshaniyan. And when you look at him, your dua mangan is there, he's looking around, you know, just waiting, you know, ishare, talking to his friends, I'll be there. You know, have you seen a beggar of a Simbi, how he asks money? Yeah, he'll come up to you. Okay, shakal banana. He makes his face in such a manner. You feel sorry for him when you give him something. You know, I've never seen a beggar come to, oh, chaudhari, paise kar lena. No one does that. Yeah. So he makes his face in such a manner that you give him money. But in the same way, we're in the court of Allah Ta'ala, the master of all the masters, and we're asking for Allah Ta'ala. We're not even concentrating what we're asking from him.
You know, the famous saying that the scholars note that cry in the court of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and if you can't cry, rone jaisi surat bana do. And Allah Azza wa Jalla's mercy knows no bounds. Hazrat Naqi Ali Khan, rahmatullahi alayhi, the father of Allah Hazrat, he wrote a beautiful book and lists different maqamat upon which the du'as are accepted. And it's very long, I think there's 45 in there, but I'm just going to mention one or two. You know, the night of Jummah, the day of Jummah, the last sixth of the night, just before Maghrib at Jummah time, a Wednesday between Zohar and Asr, whilst you're going to the mosque, whilst the azan is being called in between the gaps, the doors are open, the time of Takbir, the time between azan and Qamat, and he lists all these. You know, one he lists, Afasab, time for acceptance of du'as, all these are like specific times. And then he lists the whole of Ramadan Mubarak, all of the time of Ramadan Mubarak. Jabbi, you know, then may I not ask for whatever you want? The mercy of Allah Azza wa Jalla is calling out to you.
Abhisab, you mentioned earlier about distractions and the companions didn't have a distraction. People say that that's why it was easy for them, and that's why it's not as easy for them. But distraction, whichever era you're in, there's always going to be some kind of distraction. Allah Almighty has said in the Quran, verse 9, translation from Kanzul Iman, O people who believe, may not your wealth or your children cause you to neglect the remembrance of Allah Almighty. And whoever does this, is they who are lost. And the ulama, Harun Bhai, they say regarding this, that so don't let your wealth or your children distract you from the remembrance of Allah. The scholars, they said this remembrance of Allah here is also talking about salah, about namaz. And when you speak sometimes to people, you probably heard yourself, they come out with things like, oh see, we're too busy, we're earning halal, this is worship as well. So this kind of mindset a lot of people have as well, that, you know, even when it comes to fard salah, they're saying, no, I'm earning halal, this is also worship. So how is it like to say things like this when we know namaz is first, but they don't do this, but they say we'll do halal kumai kar sam,
again, you know what it is, that's again the waswasa of the shaitan. Once a person came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he says that, ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if I go out to earn halal and my intention is to feed my family and not to beg in front of people, how is that? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, Allah give you barakat, that is part of worship as well. Now the thing is, people repeating this, Oji, you know, when you go out to work to earn halal money, that is ibadat, like you said. But the thing is, how is it ibadat when you go out to earn your halal money, it's time for Zuhr, Asr, Maghrib, Isha, you're not even there. You know, you're too busy working. That is the waswasa of the shaitan. How he manipulates the mind of a person, the shaitan will make him think that he's doing some good. But in fact, what is happening, he is committing the most serious sin of missing his salah. And I've seen that people, you know, they're busy working away. Oh, gee, this is ibadat as well. Now, the scholars, they mention to work in such a place where they will not allow you to offer your salah, it's not even jais to work in that place. Allah. Alhamdulillah, we believe Allah is the one who gives you rizq. Then why is it that, you know, we believe Allah is the one who gives you rizq, but with that day and night, you know, running after that rizq?
We believe that Allah is the one who gives rizq, Azza wa Jal. And at the same time, Hafizah, we pay it lip service.
Gee.
Why? Because if you don't worship Allah Azza wa Jal and He still gives you rizq, if you were to take the time out for namaz, is He not going to give you more? Is He going to give you less? No. And this is the concept that we have. See, what we've got to remember is this. Whatever is written for you, whatever rizq is written for you, it was decided for you. You know, when the scholars write that when the angel came, when you know, the ruh was blown into you when you were in your mother's stomach, at that stage your rizq was decreed.
Yes.
Now, what you cannot change that. Your life is decreed. You know, the day you're going to die, you're going to die. Mm. Right? What rizq you're going to have, you're going to have. You cannot increase that, you cannot decrease it. What you can do though is, it's very beautifully summed up, Wasim, by this. Rather than concentrate on the gifts that have been provided to you, turn your attention to the provider of everything.
Subhanallah.
And that's what we do. You know, we get the ni'mats of Allah Azzawajal and we're lost in it. Say, for example, just as an example, you were in the court of a king. And the king gifted you with a nice house and a nice car and said, you know, you're one of my loyal servants and I'll give you all of this. And then you suddenly forgot your duties to the king. How would he treat you? Oh, dunya ka badshah, but Allah Azza wa Jalla is Rahman and Rahim. Despite our sins, our faults, our mistakes and our defects, Allah Azza wa Jalla's mercy is so amazing. That, you know, when we do guna, well, you know that famous couplet, ik guna mere maapyo vekhan devan desh nikala lakh guna mera mola vekhan phir parde paave. You know, Allah Azza wa Jal sees our mistakes. I can hide them from you. You don't know my mistakes. I can hide them from you, but I can't hide them from Allah Azza wa Jal. And if we were to be rewarded, if our life was based upon our actions,
no one would get through.
And you know, we wouldn't even be, our deeds aren't that good that we could be on a ventilator and, you know, be kept alive by a ventilator. You know, nekiya nahi hai. You know, we pretend. And only Allah Azza wa Jalla.
You know that Allah Ta'ala loves us, Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jalla. Our topic for today is the Awliya-i Kiram, the passion that our predecessors had for ibadat, for worship, and compare ourselves. That is what we're talking about.
One thing, Hafiz, why the predecessors, they had this passion for worship is because they understood the importance of this world compared to the importance of the hereafter, and they prioritized. And this is something we miss out on. And this is something that we need to accept, that this world is only, you know, like saying Punjabi, do din da mela, do din di yari. It's just 2 days of fun, it's just 2 days of friendship. compared to the forever and ever in the hereafter, and depending on how we behave, depending on how we live here, will determine how we will be in the hereafter. And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us for our passion. And sometimes we need some narrations to motivate ourselves. Sometimes humans, you know, through greed they'll do, but sometimes through fear. Beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that as much place as a whip covers in heaven, as much place as a whip covers in heaven is better than the world and its things. Now that includes the wonders of this world. That includes the diamonds, the rubies, the gold. It covers everything you ever wanted in this dunya and more. All that on one side, and just the space where even my arm doesn't cover in paradise is a million, trillion, billion times greater than this. So we need to reprogram our mindset. We need to reset our desires and try to realize and believe and make our hearts inclined towards the hereafter, which will get rid of the high hopes and will direct us towards the hereafter.
You know, we look at Imam Azam Abu Hanifa radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He was a businessman. He was a leader. He was an imam. He was such a great person. Yet he used to finish 61 Quran in the month of Ramadan. You know, so many people, Harun bhai, alhamdulillah azza wa jal, do start to read the Quran. But if you ask them, it's only the one or two spare.
I'm going to kind of come to the essence of this. You know, what you're talking about is the passion. And sometimes some people may have convinced themselves that I generally lack passion. It's not true. The only time that we lack passion is when it comes to the work of deen, when it comes to the commands of Allah Azza wa Jal. Because if you look at the same person, if you say to him, you know, for example, you know, the kids want something, but the car isn't working, you need to walk to the other side of town and bring something, he'll walk it. If you say, oh, the kids want to go around the park, he'll go for a jog with them. If, say, for example, there is some money to be made and overtime is available, it's double time. Even if we've done a 12-hour shift, we will do another 12-hour shift as well. We've got the passion, that's passion as well. But we've got it for the dunya. The passion is for just the dunya, to acquire that. These Buzurganeddin, our pious predecessors, their passion wasn't for the dunya. They didn't care about the dunya. And the funny thing is, we chase the dunya and the dunya runs away from us. And they chased the zikr of Allah and salah, and they wanted to push the dunya away, and the dunya came to their feet.
Subhanallah.
You know, Sayyidi Ghawsi Azam radiallahu ta'ala was a rich merchant. Hazrat Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi was a very wealthy businessman. You look at Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, the great Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu, Usmani Ghani radiallahu ta'ala. Look at the passion they had. I mean, the waqia comes to mind where, you know, there's a famine.
Okay.
And Hazrat Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala at that time has got camels which are laden with stock.
Subhanallah.
So the merchants all come to him and they say, look, we will give you twice what you've paid for it.
Subhanallah.
No. So we'll give you three times more. And the scholars, right, they offered him up to four times more. And he said, no, I've already done a deal, 10 times more. They said, who can offer you 10 times what it's worth? He said, I've done a deal with Allah.
Subhanallah.
10 times where Allah Ta'ala has said, you sacrifice one in my way, I'll give you 10. He took all the food and distributed it amongst the people. That was passion. You know, our passion is where there's a business opportunity and where we can turn £1 into £10, we'll stay up all night. But the people of Allah Azza wa Jal, they wanted to turn one neki into ten.
I'll give you a beautiful practical incident about Hazrat Sayyidina Ali karamallahu ta'ala wajhul kareem. He goes home and Sayyida Fatima radhiyallahu ta'ala anha, she wants to eat a pomegranate, anar. And she says to Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, please can you go to the market and get me one pomegranate. So she gives him money. He goes to the market and he goes around and around and he finds one pomegranate. So he pays the money. As he's walking back home, you know, he meets a beggar and the beggar says, I haven't eaten for days. Please, Asali, give me something. So Hazrat Ali got that one pomegranate and gave it to him. So he went home and he says to Sayyida Fatima radiallahu ta'ala that I did get you a pomegranate, but there was a beggar on the way and I gave it to him. And Sayyida Fatima, being mashallah the daughter of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she smiled and she says, you did right, you did very well. And at that time they hear a knock on the door. It's Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and he says, oh Ali, Allah Azza wa Jal was so humbled. This is a message from the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that Allah was so pleased with you, what you did today, that Allah Ta'ala has sent you these gifts from paradise. So he gave him 9 pomegranates. Hazrat Ali goes, they're not mine. And he goes, how do you know they're not yours? He goes, because Allah's promised, if you give 1, I'll give you 10. There's only 9 here. So he brings another one out. He goes, I was just testing you. And that's returned to us. We'll go to our kalab by Afasam, inshallah.
Sallallahu alayka ya
Nabi hamara hai.
Mustafa ka hame sahara hai.
Sallu al-Habib.
And you know, some we mentioned about the passion of the Buzurgan-e Deen. How can we instill that passion? What is it that we are doing wrong that you know they were doing right?
I think I mentioned already about prioritizing most important in life and try to be proactive in that. For example, there might be many people who ask us, "Mashallah, you brothers have changed," or you know, you so outwardly we look religious, and mashallah, you're really religious, and how do you do it? And they got to remember, unfortunately, a lot of people, they might be waiting for that day that they wake up one day and a miracle happen and all of a sudden they punch waqt namazi and everything just changed. But illa mashallah, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. So you need to be a bit proactive. If you're thirsty, you go to the tap, you go to the well. And if you're expecting everything to come and you to have a Madani revolution overnight, it's not going to happen. And your environment plays a big part in this.
Passion for deen. What you've got to remember is that there are different categories of things. So, you know, when you look at the pious lives of the Buzurgan-e Deen, they all excelled in all fields, but some of them had a greater passion for namaz.
Subhanallah.
You know, there was one Buzurg, rahmatullah alayhi, I was reading about, and they, what they used to do is spend their nights stood on the rooftop in Salah. And, you know, the children next door, they were saying to their parents, it's written, that what happened to that trunk, tree trunk that was on the roof? Because it disappeared.
Subhanallah.
And they said that wasn't a tree trunk. That was this great wali of Allah Azza wa Jal, Mansur bin Mu'tamir, rahmatullah alayhi, praying salah. Now, so there's namaz, there's salah. Then, if you look at the stories of the pious predecessors, there are those who had so much love for the Quran that they were, you know, reading almost the glorious Quran constantly whenever they got the opportunity. Then there were those who were so busy in the zikr of Allah Azza wa Jal. You know, people used to call him divane. This is a, you know, this guy is all the time, all he wants to do is do the zikr of Allah Azza wa Jal.
Subhanallah.
You know,
and that's what, the, sorry, I just want to mention that the Buzurgan-e Deen, they do mention when you do the zikr of Allah, do it in such a manner that people call you a divana.
And when it came to Durood-e Pak from the best of creation, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, they were carrying on, they had lives, they had businesses, they had families, but they were reciting through the park 25,000-30,000 times
a day.
And then another element where our passion goes, you know, astray, when it comes to matters of business, we've got all the passion in the world. When it comes to giving in the way of Allah, so when money coming in, the passion's there. But when money's going to go out in the way of Allah, Ferjirana Jazba takes
it.
And what our pious predecessors had was something amazing. I found this hadith mubarakah from the one that you quoted, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala.
Subhanallah.
He comes home and he finds the great Hazrat Imam Hassan and Hazrat Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala crying. So he asks the amazing Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha, "Okay, why are they crying?" And she says that they haven't eaten all day. So he then is obviously upset, so he takes his cloak, his armor, and he goes to sell it, and he sells it for 6 dirhams. He sells it, and then he thinks, "I'll go buy some food." And as he's walking, a beggar shouts from behind, and he says that whoever offers to Allah a good gift, he will have a better one for himself. So Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, being the great Hazrat Ali, the amazing, what does he do? He turns around and gives him the money.
Subhanallah.
He comes home, and my sahaba asks, you know, and he explains this is what happened. And this was the amazing status of Hazrat Fatima Zahra radiallahu ta'ala. He says, "May Allah ta'ala bless you, O Abul Hassan. You are always very generous."
Allahu Akbar.
So he then sets off to go to the mosque to offer his prayers. And on the way, a Bedouin comes up to him. And he says, "I'm selling a camel. Do you want to buy it?" "I haven't got any money to buy it." He says, "You take the camel off me.
Pay me later.
Pay me later. When money comes to you,
it's on the tick.
You can pay me later." So he takes the camel, goes down a little bit further, and another Bedouin runs up to him. He says, "Do you want to sell your camel?" He says, "Yes." He says, "How much do you want for it?" He says, "Whatever you want to give." He says, "I'll give you 120 dinars for it."
Subhanallah.
So he says, "Okay." He gives him the camel, finds the first person,
pays him 60,
comes back home, and says to Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha that this is what happened, and then comes out to go to the court of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he relates the story, and Aka sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has got a beautiful smile on the beautiful face. He says, "Oh Ali, do you know who the Arab was? The first one who sold you the camel? It was Jibril Amin.
Subhanallah.
And you know the second one who came and bought it from you? You know who that was? It was Hazrat Mikael.
Subhanallah.
And you know the camel? That was the camel from Jannah.
Allahu Akbar.
And Allah Azza wa Jal gave you those gifts because you gave in the way of Allah.
MashaAllah. Ji, it's time for the puzzle. InshaAllah, you'll see the puzzle on the screen very soon, and we want you to be looking there for you. Fitrana. No, I don't think it's Fitrana. It's what a maqam.
It's a place. Maqam.
Ji. It's not Fitrana. Fitrana is not a place. Ji.
It's easy, that.
It says, Attar Murshid Mere Hain.
It's very easy. I've got it straight away.
You've got it straight away.
Yeah.
MashaAllah. Vaseem bhai, Afsab, any idea?
It's easy.
Very easy.
Very easy.
It's a place.
It's a place. It's a maqam.
Which country?
We can't tell you the country. That'd be telling, that.
Madri competition against Ji Aga Vaseem bhai, koi sam lagi hai?
Yeah, lagi hai.
Lagi gaya, mashallah. Yeah. Please, can we have the answer on the screen? Aap sab pata lagi gaya? Okay, what is the answer?
Rabbe Mustafa, tu mujhe
Haj pe bulana. Vaseem bhai, what is the answer?
Arafat.
Subhanallah, Arafat. Mashallah, sab. MashaAllah, can we have the right answer please on the screen? The answer is there, Arafat. Arafat is that maqam, that place. Whoever is in Arafat on the 9th of Zilhijjah with the intention of Hajj in Ihram, he will become a Haji. Subhanallah. Allah Ta'ala take us all for Hajj this year. Ji, we're going to a kalam of Asab, inshallah, Azawajal.
Mahula ya salli wa sallim da.
Amen.
Amir Ahl Sunnat was born on the 26th of Ramadan. If it wasn't for Amir Ahl Sunnat, I would not have been here. You know, this program, all the Muballighin, the Muballighaz, Fezanim, nothing would have been here. Allah Ta'ala sent us this great man, Alhamdulillah Azawajal, who has worked tirelessly. When you talk about passion, look at Amir al-Sunnat, he's in his late 60s, yeah? But if you look at his passion for ibadat, and this is what our topic is about, his passion for ibadat, it goes increasing and increasing. Someone asked Amir al-Sunnat a question. When you grow older, you see that a lot of people, they get, a bit laid off from ibadat. But why is it that, what should be the real meaning of, when you're getting older? And he says that the more older you get, the more pious you will get as well.
Mm-hmm. Have you been looking at my laptop? That's exactly what I wrote down. Pisa's passion for worship.
Subhanallah.
It's amazing.
Great minds think alike.
Subhanallah. Pisa's passion. Again, it was what I was saying before, that it's not just single-minded. Some people have this beauty, this passion for namaz.
Indeed.
Some people have a passion for the Quran.
Indeed.
Some people have a passion for beyond. Some people, Amir al-Sunnah Dawn Barakatul Aliyah, when you look at every sphere, when it's to do with, dini stuff, the deen of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, every single sphere, there is almost a divana, passion.
Ji.
When it comes to worldly things, Amir al-Sunnah isn't interested.
No.
Just plain and simple. But when it comes to I'm not just saying that because they're my peer murshid, yeah?
No.
When it comes to salah, nobody can match their level of ibadat, yeah, and the passion. When it comes to fasting outside Ramadan, when it comes to writing books, when it comes to reading Hadith Mubarakah, when it's gaining the knowledge of Deen, when it's sending through the Pak, when it's humbleness and sincerity, when it's traveling in the path of Allah, when it's controlling your eyes, when it's controlling your ears, when it's controlling your tongue, every single thing that you look at, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, we've been very blessed because we got in this day and age a perfect role model for us to follow.
Alhamdulillah, this reflects in the organization, Dawat Islam as well, because if you look in the 107 different departments, or however many they all got to now, they're working in. What you're saying is that no doubt Amir al-Sunnat would have sat down and said, listen, we need to work in the jails. So then that tawajjuh went there. Later on, a couple of weeks, a couple of months later, listen, there's a lot of deaf and dumb, but there's a hususi, but we need to work in that. So like how you're saying that Amir al-Sunnat has so much passion for every department, whichever angle or wherever he looks, he thinks, this needs to be done, this needs to be done. This needs to be done, and it reflects on today that all these different departments Dawat Islam is working in
the department that Dawat Islami has opened up is the Dawat Islami Welfare Department. So that may be the 108th department, as I know. But it was time where the patients of the thalassemia, they wanted blood. So Amir al-Sunnat found out that these people are suffering, especially they were children, and he goes, and he was the first one to say, take as much blood as you want from me. If this my blood can help these children, please take my blood. 16,000 bottles of blood were given. The hospitals and the clinics were saying, we don't need anymore. That is the work of Dawat Islami, and that is the passion of Amir al-Sunnat for the Ummat of Rasulullah.
What's more amazing is this. A lot of people will have this passion to do the work of Deen. The beauty of Amir al-Sunnat Dawat Barakatul Aliyah, and the reason that the message is spread all over the globe so quickly is this. That there is this passion to do the work of Deen, but that passion is to do the work of Deen in accordance with the Sunnah of Nabi Kareem. Then there is a passion to do the worship, do the work, but accordance with the Sunnahs of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You can't move one iota either way. Even the scholars of today, the Buzurganism, what they're saying is, if anybody at this moment in time is truly representing the Soch and the Fikr of Ala Hazrat, Imam Ahmad Razakhan alayhi rahmatul Rahman, then it is Amir al-Sunnat.
Inshallah.
Maybe, the reason that this message is just multiplying is, Amir al-Sunnat, without doubt, his sincerity and his adherence to the Sunnah of Nabi Kareem.
Now, just one thing, Wasim, but a lot of people, the distractions that we have, we want to build that passion, there are some obstructions. What are these obstructions? Can you highlight them?
Indeed.
How can we get rid of them?
There is the quite famous hadith, the niyatul mu'mini khayru min amali, the intention of a believer is better than his action. The first intention should be when we worship, it should be for the pleasure of Allah Almighty. So when we have this passion, our intention should remain before the ibadat we're going to do, before this worship, during, and after our, we should keep in mind what our intention is, and it's for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. And talking about sincerity and talking about Amir al-Sunnah, you know, unfortunately when you try to change, there's a lot of people out there who try to put you off. And now imagine when you can imagine when they first came on the scene, and it would look a bit abnormal to wear chadar and a green imama sharif and the brown chadar, and you hear stories sometimes they used to do dars and no one used to sit there and immediately listen to dars to piano then again, so things like this, but not in a bad way, but you have to be thick skinned. A lot of times people will point fingers and say, like you said, oh, Maulvi ban gayi, ek kapde tak, ek hi halat ki thi, etc. And unfortunately, even watching these programs,
you know, that word that you mentioned, you know, sometimes, you know, I knew this Islam brother, mashallah, he came into the mahol, started wearing the imama sharif, he started to grow his beard according to the sunnah. His own family members, oh, ye tu kya halat apni banayi hui hai, mashallah. You know, it's because they've never heard of anyone keeping a beard of the Prophet.
We've got to be stronger, we've got to be more passionate, and realize the reason why we're doing this is for the pleasure of Allah Almighty. So when someone says to you, oh, Maulvi Bangi, say, Alhamdulillah, Maulvi Bangi.
Maulvi Banna Sohani, you got to eat dal jawal for so many years. People just say like that, don't they?
But so this is one thing what we need to do. And even people who are watching these programs, my humble request is to them that if they've made these intentions to change, there will no doubt be people who will be telling these guys, oh, you've changed, what are you doing, oh, Maulvi Bani. Ignore these comments, and you've got to be strong-minded. And inshallah, you could get a lot of inspiration from immediate lessons and from his seerat as well.
You know, it's a whole business about the Maulvi. People don't actually understand. Because it's like me calling you a genius, because you're calling him a Molana. Yeah. You're giving him a very high status, and you're calling. So you know anybody who gets called that, honestly, hold your head high and think, Jazakallah khair for calling me a Molvi.
One of the biggest distractions I've lifted you up as well is the mobile phone. Okay. You know, a lot of the times, even now, people, they'll be watching Madani channel, mom and dad will be looking at them and they'll be on their mobile phone. So during the whole day, what will happen is, you know, we're on our mobile phone, we're on our, you know, tablets, just playing games, all that. Please get rid of these things. Make a habit of doing ibadah. Instead of the mobile phone, okay, if you're doing something good, if you're watching any, you know, good clips of any Sunni Alim al-Din, or you're watching Ghulam Rasool, you're watching Madani channel, you're learning about the deen, then brilliant. If not, then take this away from you. It's stopping you from getting close to your Rabb Azza wa Jalla. Just imagine a small child, if he is stopped from going to his parents, that small child will cry, you know, he will fight. In the same way, you are being stopped from going to your Creator, your Rabb Azza wa Jalla, and we're losing that.
Afsad, you know, when it comes to changing, what Wasim Bhai said was very beautiful. What he said was, look, it's the environment that changes people.
Definitely.
Now, what we do is, the shaitan has a very, very clever trick. Say, for example, that I'm going to get hidayat, I'm going to be kept on the right way by Wasim Bhai. He will instill into my mind bad thoughts about him. Because he knows that through him, I'll be guided. So that's what the shaitan does. So what you do then, is the shaitan will put in your mind defects and faults about religious people. A lot of our youngsters are suffering from this. When it comes to the people that they admire, these people are full of faults, full of mistakes. They have nothing. All they have, you know, and I don't say this lightly, all they have is a nice quiff and, you know, makeup karta, and they think, oh, these people are brilliant. And they have all the faults in the world. And the alim-e-deen, the imam of the masjid, the scholars of deen, mashallah, noor is beaming out from their face. But what the our youngsters see is, oh, you know, we're dingakurna, that sort of thing. This is a waswasa of the shaitan. What the shaitan does is, from the very place that you are likely to get hidayat, he puts a negative thought into your mind. Why? Because if you sit in the company of the right people, if you go on the Madni Kaflas of Dawat Islami, if you come to the Thursday Ijtimaz, if you sit the Itikaf with Dawat Islami, you will learn so much, your life will change. If you stay with the right people, your life and your environment will change. You get a passion for the right
company,
place.
Isn't it?
Good company.
Allah Ta'ala mentions in the Quran, "Ya waylata laytani lam attakhidh fulanan khalila." So to always keep a good company as well. And like they say, Amir al-Islam was asked the other day, you know, how should a person be? He goes, a Muslim is the one, when you look at him, he reminds you of Allah. Do your friends remind you of Allah? That's one thing. Muqaddas Maqam, we've got that ready, inshallah. Can we have the Muqaddas Maqam, inshallah? جی ماشاءاللہ جی ہارون بھائی what do you think is going to be today
مقدس مقام
it's going to be a beautiful مقدس مقام But it's such a maqam that,
as per definition, all muqaddas maqam are beautiful.
All muqaddas, mashallah, azawajal. Ji, ek off kar de. We can see the buildings, mashallah, azawajal. Ji, this muqaddas maqam is one of the greatest places, one of the greatest maqams in the subcontinent. MashaAllah. SubhanAllah. You get the idea what I mean.
I get exactly what you mean. Jannat is drakht. Thank you.
MashaAllah. Ji.
We're still waiting for that.
Ji, if we can take them out, please, if we can take them out, inshallah. Our eyes are, as they say, eager to see this beautiful.
You know that you do, my kids do that at home now. SubhanAllah, the answer is wrong.
SubhanAllah, can we take one box out, please? Ji, mashallah.
Oh yeah, they always do that. They show the sky every day, don't they?
Just look at the sky, how beautiful it is. Even the clouds have come to give their salami and the barga as well. MashaAllah.
Is it Ajmer Sharif?
I can't tell you the answer. Who thinks it's Ajmer Sharif? Hafiz Sahab? If I tell you that the answer, then that will be not be fair. Okay, one more guess, and then we'll, because it's 3:01 now. Arun bhai, what's the answer? Can you tell us? G, you were close.
I said Ajmer Sharif.
And it is the correct answer, mashallah, mashallah.
I wasn't close, then I got it right.
SubhanAllah. Ajmer Sharif, ji, sare parde hata de, remove all the curtains, and let us do the ziyarat of Huzur Sayyidina Khaja Ghareeb Nawaz Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali. Their Mazar-e-Pak is in Ajmer Sharif in India, and in Pakistan, in Lahore, Data Darbar, Hazrat Khaja Ghareeb Nawaz Rahmatullah Ali came there and he did chilla for 40 days, and he eager make the poem of Sab Shair Yad Ganj Bakhsh Faiz Alam Mazhar
Ganj Bakhsh Faiz Alam Mazhar Noor e Khuda Naq Sara Peer Kamil Kamala
SubhanAllah. A Kamil Peer himself has given the barakat dua to another Kamil Peer. This was the love between these people. My dear Islam brothers and viewers of Madani channel, sadly, we've come to the end of the minute. Harumbe, you wanted to sum up today's program. After your sum up, we'll end up.
You know, it's what's the shaitan to say that everything we've discussed was the stories of the old people and the pious predecessors, and it doesn't happen in this day and age. Well, I want to dispel that. Why? Because at the moment, there are people reading Tahajjud, Ishraq, Shashit, Awabin, the 5 daily prayers, and 20 Tarawih Salah. Yes,
SubhanAllah.
76 rakats, over 150 sajdahs a day. And most people are doing that. So if you're not, you're in the minority. Then there are people reading 1, 2, up to 4 or 5 paras a day. I know people who are doing that.
SubhanAllah.
So if you're not doing it, you're missing out. The other people have the passion for deen. Then there are people reading the translation of the glorious Quran, a para every day. There are people who are reading the commentary. And then there are people at the moment who are working as well, working from home or doing other things, but they're reading Durood-e Pak 12,000 times a day.
Jazakallah.
So it's very, very important that we have this passion for deen.
MashaAllah. Allah Ta'ala reward you all. Jazakallah for watching us. Keep watching Madani channel. Sallu ala al-Habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad.